Here we go. Is the inciter.
I didn't take my own advice, did I? Right.
Do you like my name this week?
Can't see it.
Spots.
What is it?
Like Spots.
Spots.
There's a famous MC, Spots and Kai.
Oh, God. That would have been lost.
Melt.
You're not a melt. You just... Nah, you probably are a melt, aren't you? Fair.
Nah, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No. How is everyone anyway?
Yeah, I've just realised that
Spended.
All this chat about the Euros, and if we win the group, we're out anyway, aren't we?
No. Oh, look, I don't need this so early.
France, what, so you reckon we'll beat France or...
We'll beat anyone who's in front of us.
France, Germany, or what was the other one?
I think if we beat them in it, or Portugal in it, and if we beat them, I think it's Spain in the next round, Spain or Italy, I think.
That's the thing with the Euros are always like that, though. They're so condensed, aren't they? You've got to
beat the best to get through. None of this fucking bullshit like in the World Cup. Oh, we had such an easy ride through to the semis.
Yeah, you don't get any of that.
By the way, boys, if you come up the one-way system and go up towards like some road, you'll see the England flag flying up.
Oh, you good lads.
It's out the window. 8 floors up. Let's go.
Fantastic.
That's what I want to hear.
Done it 10 minutes after Southgate and Ertz and his squad.
Oh, it was stellar for him.
Oh. Took the spoon out of that one.
First one of the day, innit?
Nice. I need one.
Thought, why not?
Jim might appreciate my name.
I think you can see I've turned names off because they get
tired. It's probably around both your ears, innit?
Here he is.
What are we saying? Sorry, boys.
Here he is.
Okay. I've entered today as Spots.
I've got no names. I've got no names on it.
No, he's taking them off. He's in control, isn't he? Fucking Crane.
Little control freak.
Oh, Crane in the corner. I'm going to start calling you Crane from now on.
Who?
Fucking
I'm going to start calling you Busybody.
There you go. Can see everyone but Dan's now.
Look, so who we got on today, Jim? Who's our guest?
Spots.
No, who's our guest?
Oh, Spots and Car.
He knows, doesn't he? Yeah, look, he knows.
Yeah. No idea what you guys are on about.
I ain't got a scoop.
But it's Spotify.
Okay.
Enter the dragon. Are we
right? Let's do it. Let's get Kai in.
Hi, I'm Christian.
Hi, I'm Jim.
Hi, I'm Dan.
Hi, I'm Hank.
And this is the Football Musketeers.
Kai.
Hello.
Hey,
hi,
can Kai. You have us all?
We can.
How are you doing?
Hear us? Yeah, good, you?
Yeah, all good, mate, all good.
Yeah, so, yeah. Did you want to begin?
Well, that's a good point. So, yeah, obviously, for the people that are listening, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we've done a bit of an episode and we covered, as part of that, we covered some clubs, including Newcastle being one of them. And I'm just going to play the video. This is how that conversation went, and we'll go from there.
Saying about Bruce, though, on a serious note, like I think the difference between them two like, situations is Fulham's fan base aren't as, I don't want to say deluded, but...
Well, no, not, that's the right word. That's
they
that's
are.
The right word.
Newcastle
was still clinging to Keegan.
Yeah, and like that happened once for a very short period of time. And you are a big club in the sense that you've got a huge fan base. It's a massive catchment area. But realistically, you're not that club anymore. And you look at the squad, and you got to think Bruce has done a bloody good job to keep them up because they've got a number nine who is
comfortably as well.
Yeah, like they were in a bit of trouble for a month or two, but you know he even got Joe Linton scoring a goal here and there. So he's doing something right, isn't he?
Do you know a fan base which is so similar to that Charlton? Still clinging to the fucking Kurbishley and the Prem days. Like, let it go, boys. Let it go.
So I just want to say something before we start here. Yeah.
Carl, I'm wearing the exact same clobber.
I wasn't on the pod that week. All right.
So, yeah, I know. I watched it.
Yeah, these other reprobates are the ones that were causing the trouble. All right. So.
No, I usually agree with his points. It was just the Newcastle one I didn't.
Fair enough. So fair enough.
Yeah, all right. The main thing I took out of that was Dan's wearing the same stuff.
Yeah, I didn't realise. To be fair. Washing was done yesterday, wasn't it? So it's,
we have hair, Kyle, we have hair and makeup in each of our houses, and they kit you out in that every week.
Yeah, goes for the skin tone, doesn't it?
Why has he got a child's t-shirt on then? What's that about?
The budget's a bit small. I'm trying to grow the budget.
So, we ain't all as ripped as you boys, so.
Right, so what's the topic then? It's about Newcastle and you boys saying that the size of the club versus current structure, performance, the way the world is. And then you compared it. Obviously, you're a diehard Charlton fan. So you compared it to the same thing. What do you think, Clay? Obviously, you think that the opposite.
But no, like, I understand where he's coming from. Like, you do have a lot, you do have a portion of the fan base that do expect to be top four, which is a total load of bollocks, really. But I think when we were talking about Bruce, I think the main composer I made it was like Chris Hughton when he was there in around, it was between 2009 and 2010. It was a similar situation where on paper it's, you know, a mid table team. With the odd player, like then we had Hatton Ben off, and now we'll have Maxime, then Carroll and Wilson, respectively. And the difference was there was a bit more of a plan with Hughton. Like when you look at Bruce, it's, I know it might sound daft, but it's a bit more individual performances. Like I know a lot of fans cling on to Rafa, never mind Keegan. But with Keegan, it was more of a unit. I mean, not Keegan, with Rafa, it was more of a unit. Like, it wasn't talented, but you had 11. I think there was one game where about four or five players were closing them down. I think it was Wolves, and Wolves couldn't get a pass together for about 5 to 10 minutes. And when you compare that to Bruce, a lot of it's more, we're relying on about two or three players. So we're either relying on Maxime or Willock, and Willock was phenomenal. I didn't expect him. I sat there and went, oh, great, we've got another youngster who's going to do nothing. And Without his goals, we would have had about 31 points come the end of the season, because he's gotten us 14 points due to his goals. I think it was about 8 goals and 14 as a centre mid. And I think, and I understand, like, Bruce isn't the worst Steve we've had, never mind the worst manager we've had. But I think when he came in, I think it was Sheffield United, he said, we're going to do things my way now. And I sat there and went, you've been here 15 months. What are you on about? You're doing it your way now. I just come questions go, because I end up rambling on a bit.
No, you're right. So a couple of things. You haven't managed to buy Willock, have you?
No. I think, well, Arteta's saying that he's not for sale, but we said that about Andy Cowell and stuff. So it just depends if they're playing hard to get, or if they're genuinely serious that he's going to get into the team.
Because I think, well, him and Lingard, for me, have been standout midfielders in the second half of the season. That he didn't think we're gonna do that. And
well, I thought he's just gonna be a typical youngster from a big club where it's like, oh well, he's gonna take up a position and stop one of our players getting in. But he's turned out to be a genius, really.
And who would you have in charge then, if you could? Let's all assume we all think that Bruce is a little bit one dynamic then and can't. Yeah. Maybe get the team ethic going. Who would you like to see in charge then? If you could have realistic?
I understand Mike Ashley is a massive bad smell around the club, which turns around anyone. But managers, even just like Chris Wilder, have said they'd be interested in the club, even with Ashley. So someone like a Wilder, I think Eddie Howe, we've been linked to him, but I think Eddie Howe could go to win. I think Eddie Howe will go to Everton, in all fairness. I think he'd be a perfect for them. But someone like a Wilder, someone who can get the fan base on his side, who's more, I think he's more rooted, if that makes sense, where whenever he's at a club, he'll always focus it on the fans and get them on his side. And he's I think, I know he finished bottom with Sheffield United, but if you have a look, they still played well. He just didn't have the tools at Sheffield United to keep it going.
Well, he had a League One, he had a League One team.
Yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And I think in a lot of their games, I think they've got the record for the most 1-0 losses ever in the in like in the top flight. And I think Wilder, with the squad that we've got now, I think Wilder would be able to make we're more of a threatening side, as in we'll go for the throat. I know we haven't. I know we haven't got like world-class players. I'm not one of those fans, but just going for teams, like parking the bus against Sheffield United, playing five at the back when they were bottom with no wins. Like, what's the point in that? If you get like that, sort of, something like that.
And that's not going to wash. That's especially not going to wash with Newcastle fans, really. They're all about you. Like, you pride yourselves on attacking football, don't you?
But I think that's the comparison I made with Chris Hughton. I think, yeah, we did get thumped by the likes of Bolton, but then we also beat Villa 6-0. We beat Chelsea for the first time at Stamford Bridge in about 35 years. Beat Sunderland 5-1, which is one of the biggest wins in the time we had Derby. We still went for the throats. I think with a Bruce, it's a lot of the time we're sitting back and hoping we get that one lucky counter attack, and it's worked for now, but a lot of it's due to Dubravka's genius as well, keep stopping it being five when it's only one.
Yeah. I want to, I've got a question about going back to Willock, because I know that he had a massive impact, but obviously the converting it into points makes it all the more substantial. So if Arteta did let him go eventually, what price would you be happy to pay for him?
Well, I mean, we paid 40 for Joe Linton, so, you know.
That's but, what I mean. I was trying to say, there's some silly figures out there in general.
Yeah, I know. I think, but I said in the messenger, I think Joe Linton was just a PR move anyway to try and cover up the Rafa leaving. But I think with Willock, probably about, originally I think it was about 20 million, but I think due to his position in the squad as well, I think probably between about 25 and 35 due to the fact he's not a main player at the minute.
Yeah.
But I think he can get into that Arsenal team, no bother. I mean, if you look at that Villarreal game, they were missing a midfielder like him, like a box-to-box midfielder who looks for space for his runs, not just, you know, an Aubameyang or, in our case, Joe Linton or Wilson.
He's got to be better than Granit Xhaka, isn't he?
Well, anyone's got to be better than Granit Xhaka.
Get Jim in there.
You convert that into that cost, and say they pay, go top end. They say you get him for 35 million. What you've done for you and the financial reward from whatever position you finished up in compared to what you would have easily pays for itself and some, doesn't it? So, you know,
especially
what I mean?
With him being young, I think that's the thing with Mike Ashley as well. I think I do imagine we're getting him because he's willing to cough up the money if you can see return investment. Like, for example, Maxim's the prime example. We're buying for 16-20. Now he's rumoured to be up for sale for 70. He's not worth it, but, you know, point still stands. But it's like Wijnaldum, Sissoko, Kabay. I think he turned about a £70 million profit of Kabay when that was a lot of money. He likes to buy to make profit, and that's why I think players like Willock would be perfect for that. Would get about 2 to 3 decent years, and then we'd see probably Willock go to Man United or someone of that calibre.
And that's what I mean, looking at that, and he's a businessman. He's not a footballer, whatever way you want to look at it. He is a shrewd businessman, and you've already had that benefit of what he can do, not guaranteed that he's going to do it again.
I think that's why I've said I'd rather get one. And I know it would probably ruin us getting him permanently, but I think Kennedy was amazing when he first came. He was absolutely terrible when we got him on loan again.
Yeah.
So it's one of those where it's like, I think if we got Willock on loan and then with an option to buy attached, I think that might be a better than cash and spending 35 million. Then he's just awful. Being more on the safe side.
And one more question, following on from, so you say you get Wilder. H said, "Who would you have?" So you get your wish there. He comes in.
Yeah.
And you listed 2 or 3 players that are probably good enough, and then the. You know, you're struggling the rest. What's the most important that changes that need to be made for Wilder to be given a chance of success? Who would you want to see come in?
Well, I think it's, right back. Well, I mean, a bit more competition, really, because if you look, I think the squad's really thin. I think Murphy's made right back his own, which I will give credit to Bruce. He does give people second chances while Rafa would just throw them in the bin. But I think a new right back, I'm not sure on names at the minute, but a new right back, and I think the midfield is vital. Shelby's got a good ball, and but he's good in 1 every 10 games. I think he's one of those players where he's got the quality, but his attitude's appalling.
Yeah.
This season he's been lazy for a majority of the season. Until Willock started playing more and it stopped Shelby needing to run around so much. So then you started seeing him springing balls to the wings. But I think it's mainly that midfield. I think we're linked to that Celtic defender. I kind of pronounce his name to save his life, and I think he'd be good. Sort of freshen up the centre-backs, because I think 3 of the centre-backs are about 30 now. And if you look at Crystal Palace, if you keep letting them get older, it's going to end up biting you on the arse eventually.
I suppose one of the points that we wanted to just cover off is, mm-hmm. my personal opinion is Newcastle in that bucket where, you know, they need to either make some investment and take a chance or be constantly in this similar position. So you need to get yourself a good manager. And I talk about in the past about getting the core, so having a decent centre-back, holding midfielder, number 10 and a striker. The problem you've got when you're in that, so Everton are like at the top of that category, but there's always a chance.
It's like Everton, Villa, Newcastle, Leeds, like sort of the clubs that's got the groundwork. It's just to keep missing the opportunities to build on it every season, sort of thing. They sit on it in a way.
What do you think you could be capable of realistically? Because I mean, when you talk about Man City, Man United, Chelsea, and the type of money they've got to spend,
you're never going to compete
with them with Ashley in there, but what can you think you can do with the right manager and a few good players? Do you think you can challenge for Europe or not?
Well, in terms of, it'll be the Europa Conference now, but I mean, I think this season's kind of proved it. I know like the likes of Chelsea, they scraped in the top four due to Tuchel completely changing them up, but you look at Tottenham and Arsenal sort of drifting away in terms of that old bracket of top six. And you look at Leicester, they just run properly, where they're not the richest, but they invest money well. And if you look at them, they've won an FA Cup. They're sort of... Now they're probably in that top six bracket. I'm not saying win an FA Cup, but I mean, like, just have a bit of belief that we might win the odd League Cup rather than going to every season saying, oh, we're going to just stay up and not even try.
So we need to get you on every week now, basically.
The fact that you've just bigged up Leicester, you've got a new best mate in H.
I like Leicester. It's just a perfectly run club.
It's the perfect model, isn't it? If you could base your model on Leicester at Newcastle, then I think you'd be a lot more successful.
I think Leicester show you don't need to spend a fortune to be successful. You just need to be clever.
So is the key having a really good manager then that can basically...
Well, it helps.
Yeah. have you got a director of football or someone that does the purchasing of the players?
Well, it was one of my Ashley's mates, but that's the thing with Bruce. I think we should move him upstairs, like because he'll stay until his contract is due. I don't know if he'll stay until after 2022, but he's got an eye for a player. You've seen it where he's got the likes of Robertson, Maguire, McGinn for next to nothing. I think if we're going to go under Mike Ashley's reign, which let's face it, no one with ambition is going to come there. I think Steve Bruce, due to the fact he's got an eye for a player, wouldn't be a bad director of the football, especially with the fact none of them upstairs know anything about football. I think at least Bruce knows basically the basics of football to do a decent job. I think he's just passed it as a manager sort of thing. But as a director of football, I think Steve Bruce under Mike Ashley, you've got to remember, would be a decent I4 player, because he has proven as a manager that he has got an I4 player. He just struggles to put them together sometimes.
Sure.
I was going to say, I've got two-part question for you, Kai. So the first part is, do you think Bruce will be there at the start of the season? And the second part is, if not, will he be there after January? With the fans coming back, sort of thing.
The start of the 2022-2023 season.
Just in terms of next calendar year. Yeah. I think the pressure of the fans.
If it's Mike Ashley, yes, because he only won 17th. I mean, the only time he's actually pulled his finger out the arse is when we've went down. It's the only time he's done anything properly. As in, you know, appoint the right man, invest in the squad. I think unless he finishes in the bottom three, Bruce won't get sacked by Mike Ashley. I think that's the benefit with him. Bruce, in a way, is that he's kind of got... I know it's a hard job in terms of the fan base and the fact that the club can get toxic quite easily. But in the sense of he's not going to go down unless he finishes in the bottom three, it's like a safety net, if you get what I mean. So I think under Mike Ashley, he probably will still be here regardless what the fans say, unless he gets with down.
Where do you think you finish next year?
With Newcastle, you haven't got a clue. this season, a couple of weeks ago, we're going down. Fulham's beaten Liverpool at Anfield. We're getting thumped 3-0 by Brighton. Then all of a sudden, we've got the second highest points tally since that 2012 season. But I think probably about 14th would be where we'd probably be. I think we might have the odd scare, depending on how good Brentford and Norwich are next season, but I think probably about 14th.
Fair enough.
And would you take that now, if someone offered you that now?
Well, I've watched Championship football as long as we don't play in it. I think the Championship, it can suck a lot of clubs in for long. Like, look at Leeds, look at Sunderland, Sheffield Wednesday, Derby, like Fulham, Blackburn. They've all been stuck there for ages when they were flying high at some point in the Premier League. So I think under Mike Ashley, we've just got to try and hope that we stay in the top flight, just because at any opportunity it could be the last time we're playing it for a long time.
I don't want to back Mark Ashley or anything, but you've only been relegated under him twice. That's not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, though, if you look at it, two seasons before Mike Ashley had bought, we were in the latter stages of the UEFA Cup with like the likes of Obafemi Martins, Damien Duff. Obviously, we had Michael Owen, but, you know, he'd never really played. But we still had a good squad. I think we did have we were in a lot of debt, and I do understand that. But I think what he took with from Europe and having a bit of ambition to relegation within 2 years, due to the fact he just, you know, the appointments of Joe Kinnear, Alan Pardew, yeah, for the last couple of games, which I don't know why. Just stuff like that.
Haven't you been to Europe under Ashley? Didn't you come fifth?
I think that was under Alan Pardew. I think that was due to I think Pardew did get a lot of abuse that wasn't warranted either. I think people forget in 2013-14, before we sold Kabay, we were sixth in the Premier League. Lot of people forget stuff like that. I think we did finish 11-12 season fifth, but I think that sort of proves that Mike Ashley wasn't prepared to sort of spend the money to sort of battle to try and stay in it, and then he's just started flogging off the players again. But I do get where you're coming from, but then the season after that we nearly got relegated. I think we only stayed up because Hatton Ben Arfa dragged we over the line in the last couple of weeks.
I think you have to be very careful what you wish for, because I mean,
oh yeah, I know.
Yeah, you look at Sunderland and Middlesbrough, and who are obviously up near where you guys are, and they've been Premiership clubs for a period of time. And look at the start. I mean, Sunderland are in a complete mess now, aren't they?
Yeah. It does make us feel better that no matter what Newcastle do, Sunderland will always still make us look a bit more stable. No, I get what you mean by that. I think the only thing I'll give Mike Ashley credit for, as well as clearing the debt, is that when we do go down, he is prepared to get that up as soon as possible. So it's like, under Mike Ashley, it's a bit less of, oh, we're stuck here for a long time, or we're going to go back to League One, because I think Mike Ashley knows he can't make money off that.
Do you know what?
I think when you last got relegated and then you come up, he spent near 60 million to get back.
Yeah, it was about 50 million quid.
Yeah, he don't want to fuck about in the Championship. No. He wants to get straight back.
The only issue is he doesn't invest to stay in the Premiership often. I think when he does, it's only to make a profit, which Rafa wasn't happy with, and obviously he walked. And then, so yeah.
It sounds like I mean, not that I want to drag us into this, Christian, but it's like a, he's like a big time Paul Scally, isn't he, in a way?
Yeah. Wheeler dealer.
With bigger
there is some similarities
in
how they operate. But
we've been lucky in the sense with Scally, in the sense that we've never really had to, you know, people say bad stuff about their owners all the time, but we've a lot of Jules fans always slight Scally and stuff, but I think a lot of fans are very fickle and they forget about how much responsibility, not just financially, but like the job itself, it takes on.
Yeah.
And yeah, when you get a good owner, you just got to hold on to them. And Mike Ashley isn't the best, but he's
fine. The issue is with Newcastle, we'll either get an owner who loves the club too much and just spends stupid money, like Shepard did, or we'll get Mike Ashley who hates the club and just doesn't spend any money. So we can't win at the minute.
All right, just Kyle, we're probably just getting short of time, but just quickly, how do you reckon we'll get on in the Euros?
England. I think the issue is we're going back to that. Oh, England's going to win it. I think the team has been together for a while in Southgate. As much as some fans slag him off, he does sort of have an idea of how he wants her to play. So I think possibly it all depends on the draw, really, when it comes to stuff like Euros. And all we know, we could play like teams like Sweden and Poland and stuff, or we could end up getting Germany as soon as we get out of the group. So probably about quarterfinals, semi-finals maybe, depending on who we get.
Yeah, I reckon we're getting knocked out in the last 16. But these guys are slightly
sad. Yeah. But
it just depends who we get, because I think at least Southgate isn't going to put Harry Kane on corners.
No, but if you're playing holding midfield, though.
Yeah, probably. You never know.
I'll put it on record while we're here. It all depends on how much Phillips plays. I'm just going to put it out there.
Oh, there's the next round of abuse for us. Leeds.
They hate us enough as it is.
I think I do disagree that he's took Henderson. Like, he's not been fit for most of the season and he's getting him. You know, there's other players who could have played, like Ward-Prowse isn't getting taken. So
yeah. I think it's mainly because he's England captain, isn't it? That's the only reason he's gone. The only reason.
Well, I would take a Crocs Henderson over a fully fit Phillips.
God, he's got
it that way.
Have you not seen our social today?
I've seen your social, not ours.
Well, it's technically shared.
Sorry, anyway, let's kind of off topic. Kai, we appreciate you coming on, mate. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Kai.
Yeah, much appreciated.
The time.
No worries. Sure. Yeah. We'll stay in touch.
Yeah, we'll
Cheers, mate.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Lovely. That was Kai.
He's a good egg, isn't he?
Yeah, he is a good egg, see? All good.
I think the problem you have, like we've stated today, is that when people are football mad and you hit a nerve, they've got all of the... Well, they can potentially say what they like, and it's one-way traffic on social media. You're not having a conversation. It's just someone going at you. So
you can't have an opinion.
Like, the thing is, you can't bring your point across like as well as what you like as well, can you, on social?
Well, it's the same as in a work environment. You could send an email and it'd be interpreted five different ways. It's exactly the same.
Yeah, spot on.
Well, it's good to let him have his say. And
Tone of voice, isn't it? That's the thing that's missing from tech.
Yeah.
Appreciate him coming on as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Some very good points. Very good points. Changed my outlook a little bit.
Yeah, and mine.
But obviously...
I like how he said about he thought Newcastle were going to go down because Fulham beat Liverpool. Just as I said, I've got on the same boat.
This is what you said.
Yeah.
We live by the salt, die by the salt, the pair of us.
Yeah. That's good. Sweet.
The Euro squad, boys, what's your take on it? I mean, for me, four right backs, a bit excessive, but.
Eight right backs.
Gareth said he'd take five or six if he could.
Yeah. Well, it could.
Sums him up.
He could have taken five or six, but Wan-Bissaka wouldn't have been one of them.
Yeah,
I'm surprised Aylin didn't get in there.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, we were talking, Jim, weren't we? And I think. Do you know what? I think we've talked it to death, haven't we? Ultimately, there's only going to be 15 players that are going to really be that involved.
Yeah.
So we all got excited about doing the 33-26, but as H is about to say, the reality of it is 26 is a mythical figure as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only 18, probably going to be
18 months.
Yeah, is there anyone that you would have increased? Is there anyone you would have? Was there anyone else that's missed out that you would have taken?
Ings.
No, no, that of the 33.
Oh,
I'm surprised Saka's gone. I didn't think he would.
I am as well, because obviously Jesse Lingard, I think, should have gone over him.
Yeah. That's my big one between them two. I'm very surprised it went that way.
Do you know what I think he'll say? I think he'll say Lingard wouldn't have played and he wanted to give Saka the experience.
Yeah, I've read it twice today.
Because he's going to be a future, he potentially is a future player, isn't he? So
it's just a carbon copy of Walcott, isn't it? When he went under Sven.
Was that Japan?
2006?
He didn't play, did he?
Or was that too late? It might be 2002,
I think it was.
Yeah, Japan, South Korea. Yeah, you might be right. But yeah, it was under Sven, wasn't it? Under that. But yeah, I think that's a carbon copy, Saka Gan.
Yeah, he's not going to feature. He's not going to feature. But I did also say, when I was chatting to Jim, that he could potentially be more of an impact player because of his pace. I'm assuming he's quick, right?
Yeah,
and if you want to bring him on, so I'm not suggesting I want Saka to go, but I'm trying to figure out what Southgate's thinking is behind taking him.
Yeah.
And it might be the experience.
It's quite versatile
and the impact
as well. Like, I mean, you could say we don't need three right backs, but three left backs. He could play all up the left hand side. Yeah. So if Shaw and Chilwell both get done, Saka, bang, left back, there you go. But
and adding to my point with the whole Saka, I'm not saying he's a bad player. He's a very good player and he's played very well. I'm just in the wider bit, and again it goes back to what you said, it's 26 down to 16, whatever it is. There's probably a pool of 8 or 9 players that won't even put a shirt on. He is just one of those, and granted Lingard may have been in that same pool as well. So I think what you said very valid in it's a future experience. It's a very easy way to explain the decision. But the versatility bit, I think, is probably what swung in his favour, because Lingard hasn't got that.
Joe, a lot of people on social, I don't know if any of you have seen this, like, have you seen the squad numbers?
Christian probably has.
Have you seen the squad numbers? A lot of people are saying that's the starting 11 for the Croatia game.
If
that's the case, I'm slightly worried that Foden ain't on there, and neither is Mason Mount.
It can't be. It can't be that transparent. Surely.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I want to believe. I want to believe that. I do. But why are you going to give someone who's not going to play, you know, a number that's actually like a proper
maybe
number?
Maybe to throw people.
Yeah,
do you think?
Have you looked at it and seen if it's in alphabetical order or something stupid?
Southgate isn't that fucking clever, is he? Like,
no, but the people around him should be, shouldn't they?
Yeah, but he's the one who gets him in.
Fucking hell, we're playing in a minute.
Yeah, 8 o'clock, isn't it, Austria?
Didn't even realise. Winning.
Wow. Top man.
Yeah, Lingard's starting.
So guys,
that's a joke.
Next week when we
the Lingard.
next week we were talking about, Jim, before you came on, doing a little like choosing who you think Southgate will start against Croatia, and you get 10 points if you get a player starting, you get 2 points if you get someone on the bench, and then you get another 5 if they come on. So we're going to do a little next Friday. We need to get our teams together as to who we think Southgate will start, not who we want to start, who we think Southgate will.
Oh, individually.
Yeah, that's for. We're going to do a little competition between us.
Like a little group, innit? Like a little fantasy.
I only asked because I've just put a whiteboard up in the bar.
Well, that will work very well.
That's unreal.
Cheeky.
Yeah.
And I also had a delivery today of a box of England merchandise because I'm that excited.
That better be all over the bar come the 10th when we do that 11th.
Two England cowboy hats, 2 England wigs, 4 headbands with springy England flags on them, 8 clappers, 4 flags, and a partridge in a pear tree.
You're on.
I'm not disappointed. There was a couple of things that a lot of the players that we listed should have gone, I think, went. There was a couple of surprises that Saka's not has gone and Lingard hasn't. I wanted Phillips out of the squad altogether so he could rest really easy and I could sleep before the tournament, but it hasn't happened.
But Bellingham's then, in there, Jim. Bellingham's in there.
Dyer's not in there, so I'm pretty chuffed. And then the fact that Bellingham's going to play every game and basically turn into a £150 million midfielder. And then I'll probably get a job as a director of football somewhere.
I'll tell you what, if you put Bellingham in your 11 for the Croatia game, then you'll already be 10 points down, Jim.
Out of love. I'll even put Eddie Howe as the manager if it helps.
Oh, how's he getting on at Celtic now?
No, I didn't want it. It's Tim Pot.
Palace, isn't it?
Why don't we make this interesting?
No, it's going Everton.
Why don't we make this interesting, lads? Why don't we, for this little thing we're going to do, why don't we stick in a tenner each, winner takes all?
Yeah, wallop, I'm down.
Yeah.
So is it just the group games?
I don't mind winning, thank
you. No, as far as it goes.
Oh, wow. It's just
simple rules. It's got nothing to do with goals, assists, or any of that. Clean sheets. 10 points if you start. 2 if you're on the bench. 5 if you come on.
Sounds good to me.
And we draw up a different team for every game, right? Yeah.
Well, what you think Southgate's going to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And whoever comes fourth every round, Jagerbomb.
That's good, yeah.
What, they have them in the bank? Jager bombs in the bank. Yeah, is that going to go on the whiteboard?
No, you do them live on here.
I'll get them. If you've earned one, I'll get it to you. Don't you worry about that.
Knock on the door, just eat. Jager bomb?
With his dongles on his head.
just been thumped 4-0 by Christ and I'm still off my head at your doorstep with the Jager bomb. With a fucking wiggly thing on my head.
Okay.
We're going to beat Scotland and Czech. Come on!
Oh, that's the one I'm dreading. I'm just. I've had nightmares about McTominay scoring from 30 yards in the 82nd minute. I just need to get that out of my goal. Pickford, he's monkey rush, isn't he? I was talking to a bloke at work about Pickford today. Guy's he's a nutcase, isn't he?
Yeah, for Everton, he is. Yeah. Spot on, I completely agree. Yeah, event for England, he's the world's best gamer.
Be careful, you might upset Everton fans. Slow down a bit.
One opinion can change.
They agree with me.
Right, on the basis everyone's getting bored of us, let's get this game going.
Yeah, let's have it.
Got a quiz for everyone this week. It's England based. So I think it's 15 questions.
Fucking hell, 15?
We haven't 15. Got to go abroad. It's England based. We haven't got to go abroad.
No COVID passport required.
Thank you.
All inclusive, Tamworth, 400 quid.
Yeah. And fucking let's go. Go for an holiday.
Come on, digressing. First question. Start off easy. Who scored England's winning penalty against Colombia at the 2018 World Cup?
What? I'd had about 53 Stellas by then, mate.
The fact you don't know, if you get this wrong, piss me off.
You don't know.
Yeah, you do. A million percent. He's just trying to be funny, boys. Move on.
Yeah. You're a joke.
I'm worried about the look on his face, but he does know.
He's got nothing.
Fake that he is, look.
Yeah. He's not using any ink on that pen.
Beth.
Number two, which of these players did not go to the 2018 World Cup? Danny Rose, Gary Cahill, or the Ox?
It's got to be him in it, surely.
Question three. Harry Maguire scored England's opening goal against Sweden in the quarterfinal in 2018. Who scored the second?
Do you know what? I think I've said this on this podcast maybe 3 or 4 times. I will never forget Jim saying, we're scoring here. Harry Maguire, header, bang. Done it. Jumped all over him.
Wow. So the question is, who scored the second goal in that game?
Mm-hmm. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Next one. How many goals did England score during Euro 2016?
Quite a tough one.
Were we in Ibiza, Jim?
Whoa.
Clearly, I don't remember.
Going to Ibiza.
Yeah, we drew 1-0 with Russia. We watched it in a bar. It was that tournament, wasn't it?
Did we go through the group? Did we get through the group?
Can't remember that. It's off my head.
Yeah.
Question 5. What did Roy Hodgson say to the press following England's humiliating defeat to Iceland in 2016? Three options. I am confident I can take this team forward. You have to look at the positives. I don't really know what I'm doing here. I mean,
I'm not going to write all that. Can we just say 1, 2, or 3 on that one?
Yeah. He probably says the third one multiple times.
Yeah, in his head he does, yeah. Yeah. Fucking flips, Bob. It was so good. I'll never forget that day. Bob.
Next one. In Euro 2016, England's group games were against Russia, Wales, and which other nation?
Euro
2016. Russia, Wales, and who else?
Again, this was the wrong summer. We had loads going on.
Yeah.
Well, Euros, was it?
Yep.
I've gone on a fucking whim.
Number 7. How many games did England win at the 2014 World Cup?
Cool, we're going back up here, haven't we?
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
South Africa.
Waka, waka,
Was that 10?
Portugal.
I thought it was 10, wasn't it? 2010.
Oh, yeah, 2014 was Brazil, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Number 8.
What was the question there? Sorry.
Again. How many games did we win?
2014 World Cup.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Number 8. Who scored England's only goal in the 4-1 defeat to Germany in the 2010 World Cup?
Cool.
Remember this one.
2010.
It's supposed to be enjoyable, this doing this podcast. Getting bloody, bringing migraines on.
So sorry, guys.
Yeah, mine might be because of the beer, but...
I've only had half, mate. It was from last week, anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll start laughing when you get some new material.
I haven't... Once I come out with a corker, I drag it out, pal. My jokes have got as much fizz in them as your beer.
All gone.
Oui. All
me, look at me, old man. Look.
No, he's just fit. Opened a 7-up.
Shandy Bass.
Next one.
Yeah.
What did Wayne Rooney say to the TV cameras after a 0-0 draw against Algeria in 2010? Nice to see your home fans booing you. That's what loyal support is. Let's see you lot have a go. It's fucking 35 degrees here. Give us a break.
I'm sweating my tits off.
Has anyone seen Shrek 2 yet? I'm amazing at it.
Farquhar.
I'm currently out in cinemas going over butchers.
Yeah. What's the last one?
No, you got more
than that. You've got fucking 6 more. It's 15.
No, it's 10. 10's enough, no. I think.
10's enough. All right.
Yeah.
Last one. A loss to which country confirmed England's failure to qualify for Euro 2008?
What? I'm pretty sure I've got 7 of them right.
A loss to which country confirmed England's failure to qualify for Euro 2008?
Absolute tin pot. Coming in.
Right, it's wrong for the answers. Quite a quiz. Thanks, Dan. Right, so who scored the penalty against Eric. Colombia? Eric of the Dyer.
Eric Dyer.
Didn't have that.
Jim's best mate.
Best mate, yeah.
Which of the players didn't go to the World Cup? It was the Ox.
Yeah. Put Gazza.
I put Cahill, yeah.
I thought Cahill as well. Maguire scored the opening goal. Who scored the second? It was Dele. Dele.
Yeah.
No answer.
Dele Alli.
How many goals did England score? Four.
Can't I put five.
Oh. Wow.
Drop the save on. Pick that up.
Yes, if, but
number five. what did Roy Hodgson say?
Second one.
Positives. No.
He said the last one. I don't really know what I'm doing here.
No.
He did.
You having a laugh? Seriously? How can an England manager say that?
Well, come on. He was up.
Yeah. Miles away.
So the third team in the group in Euro 2016 was Slovakia.
Oh, so, Switzerland.
Come on.
How many games did England win at 2014 World Cup?
None.
Nilpois. Zero.
Oh, yeah.
One.
Italy, wouldn't it? Italy, Algeria, USA.
Terrible. Who scored the England's only goal in the 4-1 defeat? It was Matthew Upson.
Not Gerrard, no.
Yeah, that's why I put Gerrard.
Not Lampard, no.
I thought it was Lampard.
Should have been Lampard. Should have.
Chalking that one back on.
Wayne Rooney, apart from saying a plug in his movie, said, "Nice to see home fans booing you. That's what law support is."
Yeah, the first one. Yeah, I saw that like a couple of days ago on Facebook.
And a loss to which country confirmed England's failure to qualify? It was Croatia.
Croatia.
Tot them up.
Six out of ten.
Two threes and a six.
Boom.
Danny Boy done it again. Combined.
Even if we'd have combined, it'd have been a draw.
It would have been. Well done, Dan.
Appreciate it, boys. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, yes. Cheers. Cheers, Tart. Much
appreciated.
Love you all. And remember, in the world of kindness, people can have an opinion.
Yeah. Exactly. And we're going to have a lot of them next Friday. So
what did Jerry Springer say at the end of this?
Jerry. Look after yourselves and each other. Until next time.
What Jim said.